MBA Podcaster, the only source for cutting-edge information and advice on the MBA application process. I'm Janet Nakano. Your application can go from good to better to getting an acceptance letter by a little knowledge and some fine-tuning. It all starts with a clear action plan, not a checklist of things to do, but a strategy to maximize your chances. We'll help you map out a plan, from selecting the right schools to knowing when community service serves you. We'll tackle the question of timing, and we'll hear from one student who didn't get accepted one year, reapplied the next, and got in. Your action plan starts with a few questions to yourself, says Linda Abraham, founder of Accepted.com, an admissions counseling and essay editing service.
The first one is their goal. What do they want to do after their MBA? The second one thing they have to look at is their qualifications. Where can they qualify? Where can they get in? And the third element I think they have to look at is just personal preferences. Geographically, where do they want to be? Is there a significant other that they have to consider, or family? Do they have educational preferences in terms of, do they want a case study school? Do they want a school that's very experiential in its approach? Do they want a mix of pedagogical methods? What preferences do they have?
After asking yourself those questions, you may have come up with maybe 10 business schools, but you really want to narrow your choices down to about 3 to 6. Scott Schramm and Omari Bocknight are co-authors of Your MBA Game Plan, a book on MBA application strategy. Bocknight says you can begin targeting those few schools by doing your due diligence.
I think in terms of identifying the schools that you should apply to, it all starts off with what your end goal is in mind. If you're a career changer and want to move into investment banking for marketing, or if you want to take an entrepreneurial approach and explore business plans. So essentially, what's your end goal in mind? And then take some time looking at what the school's strengths are. And a lot of schools will kind of say that they're strong in every aspect of curriculum, but in terms of how it fits with the way you would like to learn and your learning objectives. And then also take a close look at where a lot of the graduates end up in terms of companies, in terms of how many end up actually going on to start their own businesses, if that's what you're interested. So matching up your interests with what the school actually produces and then start narrowing them down from there.
Come the fall of each application season, a lot of these schools will go on tours around the country hosting information sessions. A lot of times local alumni are available. You can ask them, you know, whether it's somebody you know or somebody at the school will put you in touch with to ask them questions. And really kind of the ultimate thing, especially, and this is another area where focusing on just a handful of schools really helps you, we absolutely recommend that you visit the schools. It's surprising how many people will apply to schools never having visited them, you know, thinking, oh, this is where I want to go because I love the culture or I love the learning environment. But they don't know because they've never actually been there. Schools are very good about hosting applicants, letting them come in, sit in on classes, talk to students. That's a really powerful differentiator for a lot of applicants. Once they visit a school, usually they know whether or not this is a place they want to go to.
Your selection could look like this: 1 or 2 dream schools, 2 to 3 realistic schools, and perhaps a safety school. And remember, says Accepted.com's Linda Abraham,
a safe school is not a school that you would not attend. Okay, so it has to be a school that does support your goals. I do recommend a safe school, definitely, when especially there's a little bit of a checkered past. Maybe the GPA wasn't good, so good. Maybe the GMAT wasn't so good and GPA was good. And I also recommend it when, again, you have multiple schools that will help you achieve your goal. As long as it helps you achieve your goals, you know, try for it. You may end up getting a very good scholarship at the safety school.
It's never too soon to start studying for the GMAT, says Scott Schramm. Leaving yourself a sufficient amount of time is key, even if it means that you hold off applying to school for another year. And retaking the exam isn't a bad idea if you didn't get the score you wanted. But on the other hand, you don't want to be a relentless test retaker, says Scott Schramm.
Our rule of thumb that we usually tell applicants is you don't want to take it more than 3 times. Admissions committees are comfortable. They understand, you know, no standardized tests and one taking is going to perfectly measure your aptitude, and if you take it more than once, that's absolutely fine. What they don't want to see is somebody who's just essentially treating it as a crapshoot, and while I'm just going to keep going and taking it until I boost my score and get it above 700 or whatever it may be. You know, they want to see that you're serious, that you're focused, and also that your priority's in the right place. You know, if you've taken it once and say you got a 660 and you took it again, and you got a 690. Frankly, a 690 is good enough to get you in anywhere. And if you're taking it again and again, trying to hit 750 or something like that, you can start to look like somebody who doesn't quite get what the MBA is about, and it's more than just boosting your quantitative numbers. So I would say 3 is sort of our rule of thumb, but really the point is that you want to demonstrate that you put your best foot forward, you're taking the process seriously.
And if you've retaken the test but still can't seem to get the score you want, Linda Abraham says it's time to take a different approach.
If, however, you are one of those people, and they do exist, who is quite bright, does well in school, does well professionally, and can't do well on the GMAT for whatever reason, I would suggest that you apply to a range of schools. You can apply to some of the top schools, acknowledging that your GMAT is low and pointing to the other evidence of academic and professional ability, but also apply to some where your GMAT is competitive, because you just can't be sure if they're going to bite or not.
An admissions committee likes applicants who are actively involved in their community. But say you work 14-hour days and can't seem to get around to it, or maybe community service just isn't your cup of tea. Should you find the nearest soup kitchen and start putting in that effort? Omari Bocknight says it's likely the admissions committee will see right through your facade.
It definitely can be an asset if you have it. Definitely bring it out. Don't hide it, definitely discuss it in your applications if it's important to who you are and important to your overall story. But in terms of just injecting it because you think it's a good thing to put in your application for the admissions committee, that's definitely not the right move. And it's not 100% required in order to get admitted.
So it wouldn't be a good idea to, a year before you know you're going to apply to start doing some sort of community service.
It's not a bad idea, but it's not necessarily going to move the needle as much as you might hope. Like Omari said, admissions offers can see through that fairly clearly. Kind of a good rule of thumb is it something you're passionate about or not? It might be Habitat for Humanity. It might be something related to your church. Or it might have something that's really not community service at all. It might be, I remember one applicant played volleyball at the YMCA a few hours a week, and it's something she was just passionate about. The whole point of your application is to show the admissions committee who you are. If that's who you are, then run with it. Don't go up, hurry up, and run out and sign up for a soup kitchen or a Habitat community strictly because you feel like you need to check the box. If you don't have passion for it, it'll absolutely come through in your essay. The admissions committee will see right through it, and it's not going to help you.
Even if you're consistent with your community service over a whole year, then it's just obvious and you don't want to do that.
I wouldn't quite go that far. I mean, if it's something you, as Scott mentioned, if it's something you're passionate about, then it doesn't matter if you started it 6 months before the application or a couple weeks before the application. The question isn't necessarily duration, it's commitment and passion. And the absolute last thing you want it to come across as something that you did simply to check a box to say, I've done community service, now I can talk about it. But if it's something that you are interested in and passionate about, then absolutely go for it, because it'll just give you one more opportunity to represent yourself to the admissions committee, one more opportunity to show them what you're all about and what you're interested in and what you're passionate about. And from that standpoint, it can be a really great asset in the application.
This is MBA Podcaster. Stay tuned to the rest of the program after a brief word from our sponsor.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA podcaster to explore program options including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit manhattangmat.com/MBA podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
What can make or break your chances is really very simple, but unfortunately it's what most applicants miss. The goal is to get the admissions committee to know who you are. And if that doesn't come through in the application, then you've missed the whole point. Linda Abraham.
One of the mistakes that the ADCOMs complain about the most, and I think their complaint is very valid, that applicants tell them what they think ADCOMs want to hear, as opposed to telling them what the applicant thinks the ADCOM should know. that's a big mistake. What do you want the admissions committee to know about you? What are you proud of? What have you done well? Why do you want to go to business school? Why are you willing to give up 2 years of income, spend $80,000 to get this degree? If you can't explain that, you know, I think your judgment would be called into question. The other thing that, you know, many schools are very explicit about is they want to know how you're going to bring something to the class. So if you write about being an engineer and they have literally thousands of engineers applying, you are completely failing to distinguish yourself from all the other engineers. But if you write that you are an environmental engineer, then you're already distinguishing yourself a little bit. If you write that you're an investment banker, you're just like all the other investment bankers. But if you write you're an investment banker and you go into greater detail, investment banker specializing in healthcare, and you go into greater detail, then you're distinguishing yourself. And that's just a little snippet of how you can distinguish yourself. Sometimes in talking to applicants, they'll say, you know, you have a question. What do they really want to know? They want to know the answer to the question. Or what's the magic bullet for this question? Well, there's no magic wand that is for every person. They're trying to get to meet you. So if you kind of blend in, you're not telling them what they want to know. The biggest indication of what they want to know is the question.
And international students especially should consider the question of individuality, Omari Bocknight.
International candidates, probably one of the weaknesses we see a lot is that it's just a place to show every single achievement that they've ever had and really focus very closely on the numbers. So, you know, I have a really high GMAT score, I have a really high GPA, I graduated from a prestigious institution, and I now work for a prestigious institution, rather than really showing who they are, what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, what are their goals for the future, what do they enjoy both in the classroom and outside of the classroom, and how can they really be an asset to their classmates.
Yeah, I think Omari said it perfectly. I would call that the number one mistake that we see, just basically people in their essays just rehashing their resume. And if I'm an admissions committee member and I read their essay, after the essay, if I feel like I don't know them any better than I did before, then that's an essay that's just not working for the applicant.
The final point to consider in your strategy is timing. Some schools have a rolling admissions process, but most schools typically work with three rounds of deadlines, November, January, and March for fall admission. MBA Game Plan's Omari Bocknight says it's always a good idea to think about timing.
In terms of first, second, third round, we typically recommend that applicants try to shoot for the first or the second round. It's always nice to kind of have your target set on the first round. That way, if you start to get behind the ball, you can still apply in the second round and there's no real loss. But waiting until the third round is a pretty common mistake that happens, putting things off too long. And most schools recommend against applying in the third round because at that point, a majority of the seats have already been taken.
Focus on making your application the strongest rather than trying to game the system. You're going to do far more to help your own chances by making your essays as strong as they can be, you know, making sure you've maximized your GMAT score. All of those things are going to help you so much more than trying to game the system and think, well, if I apply in the first round versus the second round or vice versa, I'm going to gain that little extra edge. That's just kind of all around the fringes. Really, it's more important that you get your strongest application in the first or second round. Whether it's the first round or second round, you're going to help yourself a lot more worrying about the things specific to your application.
If you didn't get accepted to the school you wanted, the upcoming year leaves you a good amount of time for reflection. Take a hard and honest look at your application. Where are you lacking? Scott Shrum says there are a number of things you can do to make your candidacy stronger the next time.
There's a myth that schools are hostile towards reapplicants. That's absolutely not true. Schools are definitely, they're very interested in reapplicants, but really the question you're going to have to answer if you're reapplying is, okay, you didn't get in last year. Last year we told you no. What's different this year? You know, is it maybe it's a new promotion at work, a new achievement on the job, something else significant, maybe outside of work in terms of community involvement? Really make sure that you have something different to talk about, a new achievement, somehow how you've matured or progressed in your career. And if you have that, you're absolutely viable as a reapplicant.
How would you suggest someone go about finding out what they need to do if they don't get in and they do want to reapply?
A lot of schools actually do allow you to interview with them afterwards, and they'll tell you a little bit about your application and your candidacy and maybe why you didn't get in. Some of the schools that receive more applicants don't do that just because of pure volume reasons, and they can't speak to all the applicants. And if that's the case, then we'd highly recommend talking to someone who is very familiar with the application process. Have them step through your application step by step. Someone who hasn't really taken a look at it, and maybe they can point out a lot of the weaknesses. Ideally, you would do that a lot up front, more up front before you actually submitted the application. But if you don't get into the school, then that's a good approach.
Here's a profile of a first-year student at the University of Chicago Graduate School of Business. He didn't get in the first year he applied, but the second time was a charm. Listen and find out how he strengthened his application.
I first applied for the 2004 intake, and I applied to six schools. I kind of started my application process later, so I applied to the second round and a couple of third round schools, and I didn't get in anywhere. So then I turned around and applied again for the 2005 for this intake, and this time I only applied to four schools, and I was accepted at the University of Chicago. But one of the things that I did specifically is, you know, I sat down and kind of looked at my past experiences, pulled out what I thought was the most relevant to translate into an MBA program and leading up to the future. And on the other hand, I actually looked at where I wanted to be and what was it that I needed, and sort of from worked backwards from there to come up with why is it that I really need to go to an MBA program. I think that was one of the bigger things that I thought was the most helpful in terms of preparing my applications. And a second thing also was, you know, because I had another 8 months of work experience that between the two applications, I sort of also tailored to take a position at work that had more responsibilities, that was more of a leadership role, because I felt that maybe that I was a software engineer, so I thought maybe that was something that was, you know, not directly demonstrable as a fact that, you know, I hadn't led big teams and things like that. Wharton, for example, you can sign up for a feedback session during the summer. So I went about and I did that, and one of the things that I got was that it was an issue of timing, because I applied in the third round, and that, you know, third rounds are especially hard. You need to be an exceptional candidate to get accepted then. And so they encouraged me to apply in the first round the next time around. And they also told me that, you know, they thought that, well, I'd set my career focus as being entrepreneurship. And again, going back to the thing of the first essay being my weakest, they specifically told me that, you know, I needed to talk more about why I want to do that, and what is it that I really want to do. So I think I incorporated elements of that when I reapplied for the second time. I actually feel that, you know, I mean, as long as your GMAT scores, for example, and your GPAs are sort of in the average ballparks for a school, if you're able to convey the fact that, okay, you've thought about why you want an MBA, you've thought about how it's going to get you to where you want to go, and you can articulate that, I think that is the real key.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Manhattan GMAT, the world's largest GMAT-exclusive test preparation provider. Developed by Ivy League education professionals and continually updated to reflect current trends, Manhattan GMAT's advanced curriculum goes beyond teaching the tricks and focuses on in-depth content understanding as well. All programs are taught by highly trained and experienced instructors with GMAT scores of 750 or better. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to explore program options, including a 2-week intensive boot camp, private tutoring, and 9 session courses offered in a classroom setting or online through a live interactive platform. MBA Podcaster listeners will receive a $100 discount on Manhattan GMAT programs by using the code PODCAST2006 when enrolling for courses. Visit ManhattanGMAT.com/MBA Podcaster to enroll and receive your discount. Manhattan GMAT, the new standard in GMAT preparation.
For more information, advice, and to register for your weekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Janet Nakano, and this is MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned next time when we explore the different ways to finance your MBA, including getting that tax break.